Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. And I'm going to be reading this from the New American Standard Bible. Before we read that passage, I want to note that anxiety is and has been a major problem in our society for many years. Everybody's had a problem with anxiety. In fact, I did a lesson on this not a month or so ago. I don't remember how long, but from a little different perspective. But we all have to deal with this idea of anxiety, and especially during this particular pandemic that we are now going through. We are told not to be anxious for things of tomorrow. But we worry a lot anyway, too much about what we're going to do, about things over which we have no control. From a website titled anxieties.com, it describes this anxiety as a person who suffers from generalized anxiety that tends to worry about big and little issues and feels uncomfortable symptoms, physical symptoms throughout most of the day. Noted that anxiety disorders as a whole cost the United States billions of dollars a year in direct and indirect health care costs. During this particular time that we're experiencing now, time of what is referred to as social distancing, people are understandably concerned, but in my judgment, and this is purely my own judgment, many are overly concerned to the point of social phobias. When we talk about anxiousness or anxiety, we're talking about having a distracted care or being drawn in different directions. Distraction. It signifies that which causes this is a care, especially an anxious care. I want you to read with me from Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Be not anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And if you're reading this in the King James Version, it will say, take no thought for your life. And then down in verse 34, again, take therefore no thought. Newer translation rendered that, be not anxious. Anxiousness. I am convinced that this kind of anxiety indicates a lack of trust in God's providence. Certainly, I'm not suggesting that, as we're going to note in a little bit, we don't have concern. We do have concerns. There's a vast difference between just being concerned about something and being anxious. I want you to understand that at the outset. We understand that God takes care of nature. the birds, air, lilies of the field. We read there in verses 26 through 30. And he promised he will take care of us. As Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your anxiety on him because he cared for you. That's the New American Standard 95 update edition. The King James Version is casting all your cares on him. Your translation renders that anxiety. Casting all your anxiety on him. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have to work for a living. My dad used to say, just sit down on the stool and do nothing and whittle on the stick and do less. The older folks understand that idea. It took me a while before I figured out what he's talking about. We can't just sit down and do nothing. We have to work. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to have normal concerns for various situations in life. It doesn't mean that we just refuse to use hand sanitizer, that we refuse to wear a mask, or that we refuse to take some of the precautions that are suggested for us. That's not what we're talking about. When tornadoes come in, we take necessary precautions. If we don't have a storm cellar, we get into a particular part of the house that will offer us, we feel like, the most protection. I read or saw a news report about a tornado just recently where people didn't have a storm shelter. They got inside an inner room, and the place where they were was about the only thing left standing. But they took necessary precautions. And so I'm not suggesting that we ought not do what we can do to try to prevent illnesses. But at the same time, Abraham was told not to fear. In Genesis 15 and verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, there were times when Abraham was afraid. Told a lie about his wife. Told her she was his sister. Well, she was his half-sister. But God had been troubled because he was afraid. This is human nature. But you see, one aspect of our faith is simply trusting in God. Paul, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 would say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Trust in God. Paul was saying in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from our God, from our Lord, our Master. Absolutely nothing. Yes, we can separate ourselves, but there's nothing external outside of ourselves that can separate us from the love of God. Doesn't matter what you might conjure up in your mind, it can't separate you from the love of God. Only you can do that. You can allow the devil to influence you to the point that you separate yourself from God. What we need to do is make it our aim, make it our purpose in life to seek spiritual things. Go back up a few verses there in Matthew chapter 6. There in verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul will say, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. In everything we do, we need to make it our aim, our purpose, to seek those things that are of a spiritual nature, not to place our confidence and our trust in the things of this world. Well, does that mean we're not supposed to trust doctors? We're not supposed to trust medicine? If we're not, I bet I got a bunch of medicine I need to throw away. Probably some other folks do too. Yes, we put our confidence in doctors. They've been trained specially, some of them in special areas. They've been trained, but we understand that they're still fallible human beings. They make mistakes. I mentioned this to Randy, and he'll mention the announcements. I talked with Brother Butts. He said his sister was misdiagnosed. She didn't have cancer. Sometimes they make mistakes because they're human beings, but God doesn't make mistakes. We can put all our trust and our confidence in Him. Cast all our anxiety on Him because He cares for us. Let me suggest to you that too much anxiety can actually shorten our life. Acute worry or anxiety can curtail the function of the mind and body. It can have a very definite effect on our physical well-being. It's well known in the medical circles that a good, positive outlook can do wonders for a person's recovery from various illnesses to surgeries or whatever it may be. The person who's always down in the mouth and just don't ever feel good and can't get rid of the dread and the fear and all, they're not going to do as well as the one who has a good, positive outlook. Many mental breakdowns come because of uncertainty, because of chronic worrying or anxiety. I made a statement about my mother from time to time, probably I made it here. And she worried about things to worry about. But she didn't carry it to the extent that it was an anxiety. She didn't allow it to affect her physical well-being. She worried about her kids, her grandkids, and we all do. That's a natural part of life, being concerned about those whom we love, those whom we're close to. But we cannot allow that to affect our whole being. Sometimes it hinders our work for the Lord. And in that way it shortens our spiritual life. In Luke chapter 9 at verse 57, the text says, it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That word fit there means suited. When we begin our life as a child of God, we don't look back. We keep looking forward. If we allow the things of this world, the things of a physical nature, to hinder us in our work for the Lord, it affects our spiritual well-being. Now, obviously, the Lord here is not telling us that we're not to take care of some of our physical responsibilities, family responsibilities. But there are some things that come first, as he phrased it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As we noted in our Bible study this morning, our life as a Christian is to be used in the Lord's service. Paul would phrase it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there beginning at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As I noted in our Bible study, we belong to the Lord, lock, stock, and barrel. Totally, completely to Him. And Paul says, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. He said, this is your spiritual, the King James Version said, your reasonable service. Your translation said, your spiritual service of worship. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. We give ourselves totally and completely to the Lord. Otherwise, our spiritual health is in danger. We place our trust in God, and He will provide. Psalm 55 and verse 2, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In Psalm 68 and verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Another place David said, I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen his people forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We just must understand that we put our trust in God and he will provide. Romans chapter 8, there in verse 31, what shall we then say to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, we understand that the scripture is not telling us that God is going to just miraculously shower down on us everything we need and everything we want. That's not the point. The point is that if we put our trust in God, he'll take care of us. He's promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. Philippians 4 verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Jesus Christ is our strength. He is our shield. Again, this does not mean that we are to show no concern at all. But what it suggests to us is, and what the scripture teaches us, is that we do what we can. I do what I'm capable, what I'm able to do. Then I trust in God. You remember in our Bible study lesson we talked about Paul? When he was in that storm, do you remember in where in that text Paul telling those people on the ship, y'all just all sit down and don't do anything. God's going to save us. Did you read that anywhere in there? I remember reading that anywhere in there. But he did say, I believe God. I believe what he told me. That our life is going to be lost if you stay in the ship. Well, they threw all the tackle off the ship. They eventually threw all the cargo off the ship. Lighten the ship. They did everything they could. They undergirded the ship. Tried to hold it together. They did everything humanly possible. But it still broke apart when they hit land. But not a one of them were, not a life was lost. Yes, they suffered terribly. 14 days. They didn't see the sun. They went without eating. At one point, Paul urged them to take a little food. They suffered deprivation. But God took care of them in the end. That's the thing we're talking about. You see, anxiety is the mark of people in the world, and it should not be found in God's children. Because we as God's children understand that material goods are of a transitory nature. As we read there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32, these things in this life, they're going to perish. They're not going to last. And as Jesus points out to them, that God knows you have need of these things. God knows what we need. He knows what we want, but he don't give us what we want. Sometimes we get what we want, but not because God gives it to us. He allows us to have it. But God will take care of our needs. As children of God, we need to be able to see beyond this life to that which is eternal. We talked about Paul and his time on the ship. But you can go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and you can read many examples there of individuals who look for something beyond this life. There's an account there of Abraham, Hebrews 11th chapter, beginning there in verse 8. It talks about him looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should which he should actually receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. God promised Abraham a land. Abraham never actually owned a foot of it to live on. Now, he bought some to bury his wife in. But he never possessed any of the land of Canaan for his own, for a place to live. God promised it to him. Abraham was looking for it. And you remember it talks about Moses in that same chapter. As you can begin reading there, verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Was Moses not afraid of Pharaoh? He ran, didn't he? He left because he feared for his life. And so, yes, there is a sense in which Moses was afraid. But he put his trust and his confidence in God. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why? Because he had respect under the recompense of reward. Time will eventually take its toll on the things of this world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. They chose not to have this great concern for the world, just as we're taught not to have a love for the world. We need to keep our thoughts and our action on a nobler plane. As Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, there verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. When we keep our thoughts attuned to spiritual things, we keep our actions on this nobler plane, we'll not have this kind of anxiety that the world has. Our life, work and labor is a secret of contentment. Matthew 6:33. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Tomorrow has its own troubles. Children of God, we don't worry. We're not anxious about tomorrow. We understand that tomorrow may never come. In fact, it doesn't. When it gets here, it's today. We don't have yesterday. We don't have tomorrow. All we've got is today. And so as children of God, we can be content. So be not anxious. Put his kingdom first. Jesus said we are to love our enemies. Luke 6:27-28. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you, persecute you. We can hurt ourselves by hating others. John said in 1 John chapter 2, beginning of verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. When we hate other people, it hurts us. As children of God, we need to understand that happiness comes from within, knowing that we are striving lawfully for that which is eternal. In Colossians chapter 3, there in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And remember, Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What we need to understand that is each one of us has our own burdens, our own heartaches. Galatians chapter 6, there, verse 2, he said, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. You see, there's a sense that we are to bear one another's burden, to help each other. But there's also a sense in which we have our own burden that we must bear that no one else can help us with. And James says, James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When we're put to the test, it helps us develop patience. Then he says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting in nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. Let it be completed. So we can be complete, not lacking anything. Sometimes I'm like that fellow was when he's praying for patience. He said, Lord, give me patience right now. And now we don't want to wait. We're impatient. As a child of God, we need to have patience. We ever need to be patient with others. We need to be patient with ourselves. Jesus will help us bear our burdens. He said in Matthew chapter 11, beginning verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And notice Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is a means by which individuals perform work. Animals were yoked together so that they could pull various farm implements. Jesus said, take my yoke on you. We are to be engaged in the work of the Lord. But understand that the Lord will not force his help on us. We have to allow him to help us. We do this by taking his yoke upon us. A song that we sing quite frequently, I think it's number 69 in our book, titled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. He will help us bear our burdens. Be not anxious. The entrance into safety and contentment is in Jesus the Christ. Paul was in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Scripture says he stands at the door and knocks. Standing at the door of your heart. He's knocking. Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. We simply must recognize our responsibility to obey God. To cast our cares upon him. So we can be rid of our anxieties. Now again, we're not suggesting that that means we don't have any concerns at all in this life. But what it does say to us that we'll have all the help that we need with those concerns. The Lord will help us deal with the cares and problems of this life if we put them on him. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, are you allowing him to care for you? Or are we trying to force our will on him? Or are we allowing his will to control our lives? That's a question each of us must examine for ourselves. If you're not a child of God, you can become one by rendering obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being baptized, we know in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And being one of his children, you have help that far surpasses anything that this world has to offer. If you're in this audience and you are in need of the Lord's help in any way, if you need to be baptized into Christ, you can do that today. If you need to have sins in your life forgiven as a child of God, you can take advantage of this time. You can turn from your sins, confess them, ask God to forgive you. He's promised that he will. So if you need to respond, the Lord's invitation will invite you.